This is Microphone Check, Hip Hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly. The rapper and producer Earl Sweatshirt put out his first major label album called Doris this summer. Earl came up with the freewheeling, button-pushing rap group Odd Future. Then he disappeared, sent by his mother to boarding school in Samoa. His friends mourned his absence loudly, and when he came home in the winter of 2012, no one was sure he'd be able to deliver on his earlier promise. Earl produced almost half the songs on Doris, which features many of his friends, including the rapper Vince Staples. Vince joined Earl in a conversation with me and my co-host, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, and we spoke about the music business, how to tell if a song is any good, and an encounter with Sir Paul McCartney that happened right before we sat down.
This man Paul McCartney came through, tried to fight me.
Did he offer you any words of wisdom?
He told you to listen to your old music.
He asked me if I had a nice new album out.
So you got a nice new album? What do you got? What are you doing?
Why is it so crazy to meet him? Like, there's something crazy about it. It makes me feel crazy.
That sums up why it's crazy to meet him, because he's the type of nigga that needs that.
But he also has, I don't know. I mean, have you ever tried to sample a Beatles song or anything? Work with it in any way?
Nah. They're too, I don't know. That just seems like very thirsty.
Well, also very expensive.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever listened to them?
Like, yeah. I've been, actually recently, I forget what the album title is, but the shit with Blue Jay Way on it and Flying.
I don't know.
It's like a tour. It's called, oh my God, why am I blanking on the title of this album? Someone knows.
It was about life.
It was about life.
And the album's called Magical Mystery Tour.
Yes, oh. Thank you. I told you it was a tour. Everyone looked at me crazy.
Yeah, we did. What do you listen to?
I don't know. I've been, YouTube surfing a lot lately, so I'll find, like, Shazam a song that I find or some shit and type that in on YouTube and just go through all the relateds for it. Mm-hmm. So it's been, like, a lot of, random jazz shit lately.
Yeah.
I found Lonnie Liston Smith.
Yeah.
And, like, Ahmad Jamal and shit like that. So it's been very tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you, like, what about that sound appeals to you?
I don't know, it's totally foreign. Like, when I put some shit like that on, like, I have no expectation
of
what's about to come on.
Huh. How do you, so you produced a lot of Doris, right?
I think, like, a little under half.
Okay.
My beats are pretty shitty, though. I don't know how they work.
I think Sunday, I don't understand how Sunday works, but I think it's
crazy
Sunday, good.
Sunday was the best one I think I made.
I know it don't seem difficult to hit you up, but you're not passionate about half the shit that you into, and I ain't having it, and we both know that. I don't mean to offend you, I'm just focused today, and I don't know why it's difficult to admit that I miss you, and I don't know why we argue, and I just hope that you listen.
But I really want to know, like, how you made the song. Like, what part did you find first? Where did you pull things from?
I just laid those chords down first.
Okay.
And then the drums, like, I think I did, originally I made, like, both parts of that beat as, like, two separate beats, and then I was like, ooh, this shit would be very tight together, and then I kind of formatted the beat around, like, an idea I had for the verse, because that first part of the beat, it actually sounds like I was making it for Lil B. Yeah, if you listen to the first part of the beat, it makes so much sense.
I see the car in the distance. I know the dark isn't coming for the moment. If I could hold it. You see, it seems that all my dreams got dimmer when I stopped smoking pot. Nightmares got more vivid when I stopped smoking pot. And loving you's a little different. I don't like you a lot. You see, it seems like...
I'm coming back, I gotta handle business. Vanished to my sleeper seat, left you at Terminal 3. I'll meet you down in baggage claim in a couple weeks, a fortnight. When you parade my homecoming, don't cry. You know I can't live in any place I visit. to live and die in LA.
And then how did Frank get involved?
He just seemed like the one that would fit best on that song. Mm-hmm. My man's came through with a wild verse. Please palm no marijuana trees, yo hickeys on my aorta, and tattoos you could only see when I'm playing surfboarder. Put whiskey in that salt water, I emptied every canteen just to wear that straight edge varsity you think's cool. They thought me soft in high school, thank God I'm jagged, forgot you don't like it rough. I mean, he called me a faggot, I was just calling his bluff. I mean, how anal am I gonna be when I'm aiming my gun?
You know, one of my favorites is 523. And just because
I love that beat,
I love it too. So you, hearing you saying, like, you know, Ahmad Jamal, to me, like, his chords, his command of piano is really crazy.
It's ridiculous.
And it's dark. And so, like, when I think of, like, that song, especially just as an instrumental piece, it's like, to me, it's of that ilk.
Yo, thank you.
Why'd you put that as a short little piece like that?
I knew I had to put it on there because I just loved that. Like, that was my favorite thing I did. And I was trying to, like, rap over it, but
it was crazy.
Nothing good was coming over it.
It's just chord changes, like, it moves.
Thank you.
It has, like, a real roar. Your drums, everything just doesn't sound polished at all, but it's just, it has a lot of movement and emotion to it.
Yeah. I've been, like, a lot of the shit I've been working on, like, recently, like, it all has, like, that very, like, distorted, like, that unpolished thing you're talking. But I can't make one that is as tight as that one. Like,
don't say that. It's in you.
Just give it as much time as Paul McCartney has.
God damn. Take a 50-year hiatus.
He didn't take that long of a break.
No, I'm just saying, they gave it time.
Just come back like
talking about Paul McCartney time. That's some time.
I like the other short song a lot too, Uncle Al.
Yeah, originally I wanted those to be like the same song.
Oh, okay.
But like Al wouldn't get as much credit as he would if it was in the same song.
Okay.
So we just had to give it his own.
Salmon skin band-aid, help recovery. Diction buttery, grass dependent. Yo nigga was switching paths depending on where the rudder swings. Snapping like the shutter speed, pucker up, kiss of death. Tell your men to hit the deck or hit the dirt. Killing who you sending first. Verse when the green spit it, show them that I'm in it. Ho, I'm rolling with my niggas. Find a golden, call the chemist. So up Sholo to the scrimmage. Throw a brick and pull the henny. Don't defend it, it's useless, nigga. Up
to my wrist. That song was tight too. Originally, there was an Alchemist verse on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was talking crazy on it.
Is it true that people just sort of go to his house and hang out and get work done?
He has a good working environment. Sometimes you just go over there and get way too high and don't do shit.
How did you write for this album? Was it like all spread out?
Yeah, it was very spread out.
Okay.
There was like different like times. There was like right when I got back. Second or third day I got back, we did Hive. That was like the first beat I made and shit. We did that song so fast. We did that shit in like 2 hours.
Breaking news, that's less important. When the Lakers lose, it's lead in that baby food. Heads trying to make it through. Fishnetted legs for them eyes that she catered to. Ride dirty is the fucking sky that you praying to. So here I sit, eye in a pyramid. God spit it like it's true serum in that beer and then disappear again, reappear, bearded on top of a leer, steering it into the kid's ear again. Provider of the backdrop music for the crack rock user and the mascot Earl.
Then there was like the summer sessions when we was at Omas's, Omas Key from Sauron, for like 2 months. That was around the time we did like the first song on the album. And what else?
The Pharrell shit and the RZA shit. And
oh, yeah, there was that time, too, where
RZA
was like,
had chicken.
Yeah, when RZA was, oh, my God, this man RZA.
He's crazy.
Is out of his mind.
How'd that come together? House?
we just went to the studio because it was RZA day at the studio. Like,
and RZA popped up with fried chicken and what was that dude's name?
And I don't know what his name was, but he had the blunt. And then after RZA smoked it, he spoke for 4 hours.
RZA spoke for 4 hours?
And then yes, he freestyled. And he also dropped the bass freestyle. 12-minute bass freestyle. The hook for that song, we lifted it from... He was just saying random shit over that beat. And we just lifted that from it. Like, we lifted the hook from there. That man said some wild shit.
He's crazy.
Music calm the savage bees. 100,000 on the armor Jeep. He was talking... He was... Oh, my God.
He had, like, a 30 bar about his purse?
Yes. What he says at the beginning of the song, he says, search inside my purse to find something worthless.
Search inside my purse to buy something worthless.
99 problems all gone in that one joint. And then that gold froze like he held it at gunpoint. I'm a bubble in the belly of the monster with a duffel full of troubles. Trunk rattle with a Mazda, ragged with the Contra. Phantom of the Opera, and I'm standing on a cop's truck, stacking for the long run. And bags packed roadside with the thumb out. Toe tag, don't gag, spit your gum out.
That was some other shit.
He was barred out though.
Is that the first time you met him?
Yeah.
So those are two different studios.
Yeah, and then there was a... What would you say the time periods of that album was? It was like the beginning, like right when I got back. Then there was...
And then right before you turned it in.
Yeah, then right before I turned it in. Then there was like a... Then there was like a me and Tyler time. We did like Woe and Sasquatch.
When did you guys do Centurion? That's like my favorite.
That was right when you came back.
No, but that song, you put your shit on the beginning of that song. I put the first verse down, and then they redid the beat, and then the beat became like what it is now.
RZA Day.
RZA Day, they redid the beat. Christian Rich did. Because I didn't know like what I was going to do for the second verse at all. Like, we just had to hook his verse and then my first verse. I couldn't write that shit. And then... RZA Day, I wrote the second verse of that song. That, yeah, Centurion is probably one of my favorites on there too. Shooters got him thinking Johnny Carson back, trying to win this white man's game with my heart in check. All off a dollar and a dream that I really had. Kinda hard to sleep when your daughter's in the streets. North is the side where my family stay. Big baby Jesus, I can't wait until the money coming in. Spend it all on guns and rims. I ain't nothing but a nigga, ain't no reason to pretend.
How'd you hook up with Christian Rich?
They just set up a session with me and them one time, and it just clicked, like, perfectly, because they were on the same page with, like, niggas had, like, the same ears, basically, you know what I mean? Like, the Pharrell chords and, like, that shit. It worked out very, very well. Close fist chronicles, soul sniff mama new. Baggies laying around peanut shells at a carnival. Stomping clowns welcome pussy niggas to the romper room. Buckshot will cover whole torso like a parka do. In a park or two, plotting trying to garner loot. Split it with his big road dog called a Marmaduke. Searching for a shot of truth and found. Couple bucks bought his cousin's lunch.
Was there any point in this? So it's like a little bit more than a year making the record. Or a little bit, just shy of a year.
Yeah. There were so many different versions of that album. There was like a fully finished one that had like 4 or 5 different songs on it that we ended up swapping out. And like,
was there ever a point that you, in making this record, you felt like you didn't want to do it? Like, you just want...
So many times.
Like, it's just like,
when I was just
forget
like,
this life.
Oh my
making
God.
Making music, like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, hell yeah. So many times. I would call this nigga and complain so often.
What was going through your mind at that time? Like, what was happening?
Burgundy.
What's up, nigga? Why you so depressed and sad all the time like a little bitch? What's the problem, man? Niggas wanna hear you rap. Don't nobody care about how you feel. We want raps, nigga. Raps.
Your grandma's passing, but I'm too busy trying to get this fucking album cracking to see her. So I apologize in advance if anything should happen. And my priorities fucked up. I know it. I'm afraid I'm gonna blow it.
I'll just get frustrated. Like, oh my God. There was that period of time when no one from the label, like, got what I was trying to do. So they was trying to, like, put me in the studio with, like, just the wrong niggas. And, like, I got a beat that had a John Legend hook on it already. It was, like, it was just very messy for a period of time. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm fucked. Like, I'm gonna have to put out an album that I do not fuck with at all.
How'd you handle that? Did you tell people, like, yo, I'm not doing this, I'm done, like, leave me alone?
Yeah, well, I didn't understand. When I got home, I was trying to figure out how to be home, like, be home in a sense that had nothing to do with music, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was already difficult as fuck trying to figure out how to be home. And then, so I didn't know how to say no. Mm-hmm. Like, I was very passive when I got home because I didn't know, like, it was just like, oh, I guess, like, I don't want to really do, like, you be like, what? Like, I, what, whatever. So, yeah. I'd probably say that's one of the most valuable things I've learned in the past year. So now I kind of say no to everything, even shit that I shouldn't say no to. But it's kind of safer that way.
Yeah, that's the position. That's, you earn those stripes, man.
Yeah.
How did you push forward? Because obviously, you know, you got a very popular crew who, I don't know, you know, what type of motivation you guys have when you guys Odd Future together. But in just saying, like, all right, this is me, this is my solo, I'm doing this, I'm on major label, I can't really quit. Because I know deep down inside, like, you just want to just do your thing. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I came home and, like, didn't jump back into, like, the position that was kind of reserved for me, mm-hmm. by, like, everyone, that kind of set the tone for, like, that whole year. So it was kind of, like, for especially, like, me and Tyler, we kind of, like, reset right when I got home because he didn't really, like, get what I was trying to do, which, like, a lot fell on me for that because, like, I didn't know how to fucking articulate myself. So he was, like, confused. Like, what is this nigga doing? Like, he thought I just, like, went away, fucking lost my mind, and, like, came back, like, trying to be on my own shit.
Right.
But, like...
Because when you came back, then it was it, like, you had your own representation and everything, sort of, so...
It was crazy for him. Like, I know it must have been crazy for him because he spent, like, that whole 2-3 years or whatever just, like, riding so heavy in my name. And then, like, I came back and he felt like it was just like, hey, thanks, bro. Like,
so was there... I mean, you know, you said you called Vince up when you felt like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, what did you say to him?
I don't want to do this anymore.
What did I tell him?
Yeah.
I told him to shut up.
Yeah.
I told him to shut up. There's no time for that shit. You gotta work. You gotta do it. Who else gonna do it if you don't do it?
So what came after that on the record? Like, you
Pre,
know what I'm saying?
The first song.
Oh.
Yeah. That was at a point in time where, like, we should have kept going, like, right after that. That was a very good streak of songs that got done. Because S.K. La Flair was fucking on that summer, too. That nigga made...
S.K. La Flair is a legend, bro.
S.K. La Flair is a legend.
Baby girl, what you wanna do? Hop in this 80s girl, she like, where we going to? A new life, new world. Pop that molly, we hard body. Glock's hot ass, Kemosabe. He said that he wanted beef, so we fed him hollows and got it popping. Fear and ego is the enemy. You ain't gotta pretend with me. I need the wool, I'ma skin the sheep. And take the bull, skin it to the meat. You full of shit, we in too deep. I do this, she knew the deep. Like 2 feet, fled 2 times. She wanna kick it like Bruce Lee.
Like, it was me, him, and Vince. And like Frank would come through sometimes and shit. And he was like fully rapping. Like, that shit was niggas was
he
all
had a rap phase. Everybody missed.
Yeah, he had a full rap phase. I'm pretty sure he's still in it right now though. Nah, he played me some shit like a couple weeks ago that was like, oh bro, wow. Yeah, Frank Ocean think he a rapper.
So what do you think about the music business?
It's pretty retarded. Yeah, it's a mess right now.
It's always been a mess.
Yeah. I just feel like it's especially a mess right now because, like, people are so desperately holding on to, like, these retarded old ideas of what shit should be or, like, paths to follow with it.
So how's things going with the record? Are you touring now?
Touring with the record out, shows are so much more fun now that niggas know what I'm talking about. Because I had to, like, be doing all these shows for this, like, past year or whatever. Like, doing songs from when I was, like, fucking 15, 16. And then new shit that no one knew what the fuck was going on. So it was like, oh, this good. That is, I like that.
So what do you like more? The recording process, you know, searching, looking for music, or touring, performing?
This is pretty fun now. Before, I didn't like it because that shit was not fun, like performing new shit to audiences that had no idea, had no clue what was going on. But now that it's out, I really like it. I've been trying to, like, record shit. I've done, like, a couple new songs, and they've been pretty tight, but, like, I'm just waiting for when... So I'm just ride, like, the touring and performing shit out, and hopefully, like, whatever comes of that, make some tight songs. Like, when we get in the next recording process.
So I was there last night, and it was, like, really fun. And I didn't think it was going to be that fun.
You thought it was going to be sad, Earl.
Yeah. But you gave us a heads up. You're like, it's going to be sad, everybody. Right now it's about to be sad.
Oh, for that song, yeah. You always have sad time for that song.
Mm-hmm, the blue lights.
Yeah, ominous.
But it's kind of like... it's very relaxed. I mean, it feels like you guys sort of break the fourth wall. You talk to the crowd, and the crowd talks back to you, and you let people, like, pick the next song. And
yeah, we don't have a set list at all. We have, like, a rough one, but, like, figure shit out as we go along. It's more fun that way.
Yeah.
Rather than having it trying to be, like, because if you don't break that fourth wall, then you have that distance between you and the shit is just, like, not fun for anyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it lets the crowd participate.
Yeah, because I used to just try and pretend like the crowd wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
Which was some weird shit.
Yeah.
That's a very weird concert when the nigga on stage is trying to pretend like there's no one there.
And then also there's the It's Getting Hot in Here milkshake ignition remix moment.
That shit was hot.
I feel like the happiest you looked was when Milkshake dropped.
Yo, dropping that shit is so funny. Because niggas the whole time listening to songs like Hive and Kill, like, I'm about to sock this nigga. And then you throw a Milkshake. And it forces every.
Off.
Yeah. Milkshake goes up. Mm-hmm. Ignition went up. Hot in Here went up.
I really noticed how different those songs sounded from your stuff, though, like the way that they were layered and the tones of them. I mean, it really set things in opposition.
You gotta have that. You can't have, like, sludge for a whole hour
because
it's gonna get old.
Right.
And you, like, do that in the middle of the show to make, you know, like, re-energize everyone.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, the shit goes up.
Do you ever get nervous about performing?
Not so much anymore. Because, like, I mean, the first show of the tour I did because I hadn't done shit in, like, a month. But, like, once you get into a rhythm with it, it's like, just keep running with it.
You're not afraid of making mistakes either?
Nah. I feel like the whole shit is a mistake. I'm a mistake boy.
Were you supporting Eminem at one point?
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Why?
Because it was like 80,000 white people in Scotland. Maybe about 40 came specifically to see you.
Right.
But it was tight. We got, like, the first show, it just kept getting better, like, because we started figuring out how to get the crowd on our side.
How?
Just had to keep going up. And also, once you understand that they're all just drunk, then right. It's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
That shit was crazy. That was wild.
The crowd or him?
Just that whole experience.
Can you see any of the crowd when you're up there in front of 80,000?
Yeah, you can see all of them.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
That's terrifying to me.
Yeah. You kind of just gotta just like party with the 17 people that are fucking with you.
Like right up front, yeah. Those people. Yeah.
The terrifying part of that for me.
Yeah.
Is if it's happening in summertime and everyone got short sleeves on, you just see a wave of like light arms just moving. Like, you know, 80,000 arms just moving like that. I don't know for you, but for me, that freaked me out.
Why?
I don't know. It just was like a movie or some a horror flick or something. It's bad. Was
a lot of people doing the exact same thing is crazy.
Yeah, it's like, it's just you and it's a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're in full control.
Yeah.
You feel like you're in control at that time?
You, like, they've fucking prostrated themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they do what you say. That shit is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you carry that sort of feeling back in the studio, or do you just, like, it just melts, it's behind you, and you just go back into, like, your own zone?
I just smoke weed and drink coffee, so it kind of melts away. And then whatever comes after I do that happens.
What about when you're writing?
Smoke weed and drink coffee.
That's, like, very confident.
Yeah, it's kind of just, like, flinging shit at the wall and, like, whatever stick that's very tight. Like, wow, that... We're keeping that. I don't have, like a process.
Yeah.
I just try shit out till it works.
So, if you don't have a process, do you have a purpose?
I suppose so.
I know you do. I'm just like, do you know what it is, though? You have to. You're not doing this just to be doing this.
Yeah, but I haven't, like, fully realized it yet. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
But I know something's there, and hopefully it comes when I fling the shit at the wall.
That's 100.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you just...
Like, I know
something. Programmed to wake up. And we programmed to wake up. We can't unprogram ourselves unless we just jump off a building. Okay. So you're programmed to wake up. Some people, when they, you know, they open their eyes first, they know. But most of us don't know what our purpose is. So, I mean, it's fair, but I just want to say, it's clear you got a purpose, man.
Thank you. That's crazy.
It's clear.
I don't like to think about shit like that.
I know.
It's too heavy.
I know. I don't want to be
that dude
in the room.
That's why I smoke weed and drink coffee, so you could just be like...
I don't want to be that dude in the room to do that to you, but it's just, yes, I am that dude, because I've lived it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and it's not for everybody. And everybody, there's a lot of people, Vince, I'm sure you come up against this as well, you know, they think they want to do this. They think they have a purpose in making music and just, you know, putting that life onto the music, but it's not for them. They should stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I feel you 400%. It's a lot of niggas that should stop.
So, you know, like you two guys, I'm like, thank God, you know, like the music, the art's gonna live on.
Bro,
the genre's gonna live on.
Vince was talking about this yesterday. He was saying if, like, everyone that we know is tight. Everyone that we don't know is not tight. Like, say what you said.
That's what I said.
Say more what you elaborate.
I mean, the people that know what they're doing are doing it for a certain reason.
And all know each other.
Yeah,
it's so crazy.
Literally, like,
there's like a big
it's not even big, but it's a lot of, it's easy to do, bruh.
It's about 17,
yeah,
18 people.
Yeah, I understand, bruh, the internet, people live on the internet. The internet is life now, you know what I mean? Literally, in every single way.
Yeah.
You inside, you on the computer. You go outside, you on the computer. You feel me? You want some food, you get it on the computer. You know what I mean? So, motherfucker, you see somebody doing something, it's like, oh, I can do that, only because you know how easy they did it. You know what I mean? You can talk to motherfuckers nowadays. When you was young, you couldn't be like, yeah, I'm about to tweet this nigga Jay-Z and tell him how I feel about Big Pimpin'.
Yeah.
That didn't exist. It was untouchable.
Like, let me holler at my mans.
It was untouchable. Quick. So it's like you had to go a long way to get where you wanted to go. Now the people can choose who do what, and the people is fucking stupid. There's no hierarchy. It's no, you feel me?
Yeah.
Type of shit like that. It could be, it's 100,000 idiots.
Right now, it's a lot of fucking artists.
It's 100,000 stupid motherfuckers probably on this street, and they could give somebody 100,000 views on YouTube, and that can give somebody a deal.
Right.
And that's off one block. You get what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So you add up 10 blocks of stupid motherfuckers, you got a nigga who just went platinum.
What do the 17 people have in common?
I don't know, man.
I don't think it's something that you could put your finger on, but it's like,
in common. I ain't nothing like none of my friends.
How do you know if something's good?
You don't.
No, you do. You always know when something's good.
You just said you know.
You don't know if it's good. You know if you understand it. Because what makes it good?
If it's good, nigga.
You think Lil B is good?
Yes.
A lot of people don't, but they don't understand it. So what makes it good or bad?
Good point. I don't know. However you relate to it.
That's not what make it good, though. What make it good is you being able to relate to it. Because you can really dissect. Remember we was talking about old boy earlier that everybody fucking with, and it don't make no sense when you really think about it?
Yeah.
But it's just that a lot of people, like, relate to it. And that's what make it good to them. But you got to understand how many people ain't about shit or how many people.
Yeah, but niggas are thirsty to relate.
Exactly.
Niggas are thirsty to like some shit now.
Because it's, bruh.
I don't know why. That shit is weird. Because
rap is cool. Rap is what skateboarding was when we was in ninth grade.
True fact.
When TK came out and every nigga was either watching or was trying to do it, that's what rap is now. These motherfuckers I went to school with, I know didn't give a fuck about music. They hit me up every day like, yo, the Jay-Z from 96. I'm like, my nigga, shut up. Because you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's what's popping right now. And it's a bunch of motherfuckers that's going to hop. It's like when N1 was out and every nigga played basketball. That's just how it goes.
Hell yeah.
It's rap turning to be that right now. So everybody's a rapper or they a critic.
It's trendy. That's what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes.
That scares me.
It should. It's going to be over in a minute. So.
How can you tell if somebody's being honest? On a song.
The problem, you can't these days.
Nah, you can.
You got to see them first, though. You know what I mean? And motherfuckers live on the internet, so it's hard to really get a close interaction with somebody to see if they full of shit or not.
Nah, it always comes out one way or another, though. Like, time always tells. Like, if there's a consistency to a person, like, that's normally when you can tell if they're being honest. Like, when there's a common thread throughout their shit.
Okay.
But who's really getting more than one album out these days, or, like, more than two mixtapes?
That's a lot nowadays. Yeah. And if it's consistent through... Part. Bro, that's a lot of songs. Two mixtapes, call it 30 songs. If there's a common thread through 30 songs that you do, that's a lot of fucking songs.
Yeah, but I'm saying somebody could probably bullshit 30 songs.
No, you can't. Songs. You can't really? Bullshit 30 songs, bro.
We know you guys are real. Better be real. I'm going to be real angry with you. If you're not.
You going to beat your ass. You're
going to beat your ass first.
Nigga.
I have a question about something you said in another interview, Earl. You said lyrical is the worst word in the entire world.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, that's a big debate in hip-hop, right? Because
niggas just fall back on it now. Like, any nigga that's not retarded is lyrical. I hate that word so much. I hate the fact that I'm saying it. Lyrical.
Lyrical shit don't make sense, though, when you really think about it.
Lyrical.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
If you play me your favorite lyrical song right now and I stop it and ask you what he just said, I guarantee you won't know.
Like, I won't know what he means or the actual words?
You won't. You'll probably know the what the words mean. You'll know the definitions, but you're not going to know, you feel me? What's the, what did you get from that?
Right. Well, like, it's too much.
All I'm saying is shit's been sectioned off into two things. Right. It's like, bro, A, turn up. Or like, damn, this is real rap. Like, this is real lyrical.
Yeah, big conjunctions. Fucking four-syllable words.
Yeah, four-syllable words.
That motherfuckers don't even know what they mean. They went on RhymeZone.com.
Yeah.
Because I know people that use RhymeZone.com. It's pathetic. But that's
how RhymeZone.com?
What it sound like? RhymeZone.com. You put the word
like
in
this.
What rhymes with it?
Like this.
It's a rhyming book.
What rhymes with clever? Clever, better, shit like that. And it's real. Motherfucker rapping. I walked in the studio one day. And I seen a nigga use it, and I was like, what you doing? And then he just looked at me like, it wasn't no regular motherfucker.
Just pick a three-syllable word and just find
on the
it.
Label, like, on the rhymeszone.com.
As many like, other three-syllable words that go with that word. Niggas are so corny. Oh, my God.
But if you use big words, then you smart. If you smart, you lyrical. You don't got to say shit no more.
You don't got to say shit.
If you look at motherfuckers that people put in the top, like tens or
dude,
whatever.
You just have to be not retarded.
Exactly.
So who do you guys look up? I don't want to say look up to, but you just admire their, you know.
Currently,
yeah,
my friends, nobody else.
Name names.
I'm saying this is what we were talking about earlier. Like the niggas I know is niggas I'm fans of. But like,
name names. You want to know why? Because I got a few friends. I don't have a lot of friends, and my network is pretty small. But I know the strengths and weaknesses of my friends.
Probably say Vince Staples, Tyler, Doms, Q. I fuck with Schoolboy just because, like, a lot of times, like, that nigga's not out here trying to be, like, Mr. Lyrical. He's out here trying to capture the energy of a fucking pit bull and does it very well. I don't know, the shit that I run into a lot now is that I'll like a few things that a person does, but not their whole aesthetic or like their whole brand or whatever.
Do you have any additions or subtractions?
Drop the gun, son?
Nah, I'm retired, bro. I don't got no influences, and I don't look up to none of these niggas. I always say that too, and then motherfuckers be like, "You got to," and I be like,
"It's tight."
And I be like, "Think of one person." That,
I know Vince that I Staples. Sound like. Vince Staples sound like Vince Staples. That's why I fuck with Vince Staples.
Who's Larry Fisherman? Since you're here, I just wanted to ask.
That's Malcolm.
Little Malcolm. It's one of his many unnecessary names.
Yeah, it's Big Mac.
Mac's crazy, bro.
I fuck with Mac. Mac's one of my better friends.
Why'd you guys slow that song down? What song was that?
Guild. Yeah. It fit for that song. Mac voice sounds very tight slowed down.
What was the process of that?
I made that beat and then was just like, I fuck with that song very heavy because it was one of the songs that I stayed fully focused on from the beginning to the end of it. Like it was like I set up a puzzle. And it was like, all right, Mac, you put this piece here. Like, and I got it. Like, and it worked out perfect.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Some young hazels eating bagels with no cable on. Been fucking hoes since when Mace was on. I hope the bass God hear my prayers. One day you're here, the next day you're gone. So me and Earl smoking weed on Jay-Z lawn. Some dope rap on your whole ass. Tony Womack, don't hold back. No, feed your girl cognac. Eat a bitch, sleeping with a feverish deep chick. Met her off Twitter, even Schindler. Keep a less Pittsburgh. Broke down somewhere in a Fisker. I could pull your bitch with a whisper and diss her. Whoa. Dumbass ho. She only dumb cause she love that though. Okay. Summer getting high, reading juxtapose. Hit her up, she come through.
Watch. Ooh, I started making that beat while fucking MTV was at that nigga house, and I will never rap for MTV on camera. Like, I'll never finish a song for MTV on camera. And they was like pressing me, like, they was like, so you guys gonna finish the song? Or like, and I was like, no. Like, I don't have any ideas for this song. It's just a beat. I don't know. Yeah, then we just knocked that out that night. I was tremendously high.
It sounds like it, but yeah. In a good way.
Yeah.
I like that song. It caught me off guard.
Couch where that loud is burning, I'm shouting. I don't fuck with you cause I don't. Never love a hoe, but we could play doctor, my open wide with the mom.
Tight.
I was like, oh. And it drew me in.
Yeah. Niggas aren't expecting to hear Mac Miller. I'm mad that song came out before the album. I did not want, like, I had to give that song to Fader in exchange for, I didn't want to give him anything else off the album, so I gave him, it was like a rush decision, but I really didn't want that song to come out before the album. I wanted niggas to see the Mac Miller feature, be like, fuck, like, this nigga stink, he blew it, like, he doing shit with Mac Miller, and then that song comes on, and it's like, yeah, I fuck with Mac. I hope he keeps following that trajectory of like, cause I fuck with Mac because I wasn't home when this nigga came out. I've never like, I don't listen to none of that nigga's other music. Mm-hmm. Like Taco took me over to his house. Like I'd only heard a few things about him. Maybe heard like one Mac Miller verse was like, wow, that was pretty trash, whatever. Then I went over to that nigga's house, like, we was on the same page, came friends, and then just naturally started doing music. So it was like we started on a completely fresh slate. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out tight.
That's dope. So producers do. So you thinking the next record?
Yeah, I'm starting to get ideas down for it. I actually did another one with Mac, like, that I'm probably going to use for it. Just at his house, just fucking around. The same way we did Guild.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to...
You going to produce something for Vince? Is that happening? No?
You don't be finishing beats.
Suck my
dick. You got competition.
You got to finish something. I mean, finish something. Yo, you're a good producer. So...
And you know who making all the most of beats now, so you're gonna have to really, you know what I mean?
Yo, you know who's very tight?
Who?
This nigga Knots.
Oh, Knots.
Yeah. Knots is.
You got a lot of work out right now. He's got a song in that Pusha album, too.
Yep. That shit is hard. I don't care what you say.
The beat, cool.
The beat
is crazy.
Pusha sound like he used to sound on that song.
I just don't like diaper rash.
20 plus years of selling Johnson & Johnson. I started out as a baby face monster.
No wonder his diaper rash on my conscience.
Yeah, well, I like fucking crazy, crazy.
Yeah. I like that.
He's so crazy. He rap like he crazy. He rap like he...
With the hand gestures and shit.
He raps like he's smiling.
Yeah. He raps like he looks at that video.
Yeah, exactly. Like he can't
like
stop.
Like the Miley face.
It's cool. You know I don't be listening to rap music, so.
Yeah. Yo, Vince listens to very trash music. Vince only listens to hood remixes of bad songs.
That's the shit.
Try to fight the urge like Ivan Drago. If he dies, he dies. Like Doughboy to Trey. If he rides, he rides. Throwing punches in his room. If he cries, he cries. We don't drink away the pain. When a nigga die, we add a link to the chain. Inscribe a nigga name in your flesh. We playing on a higher game.
So what were some of your influences, though? You say you have no influences. I accept that.
I got obvious influences, though.
Yeah, like...
I don't know, like, earlier it was Doom, but, like, even with niggas like that, and it's, like, no disrespect, it's just, like, time is fucking doing what time does, which is moving right along. So, like, shit that once was is not, like...
Everybody lose their jump shot, bro.
That nigga's still, like... Every time I hear some new Doom shit, I'm fully biased towards Doom. Like, there's shit that I know isn't, like, what it used to be that I'm fully down for.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
It's true. Some people do lose their jump shot. And then in terms of music, though, sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, wow, that was new. And I heard it now, and now I'm looking for something different.
Right.
So we become accustomed to it. We absorb it, and we just... push it out our booties.
Yep.
Did you ever listen to The Alcoholics when you were a kid?
Nah.
Sometimes you do like freestyle fellowship type stuff.
Yeah, like with the extra'd out rapidy raps.
Yeah.
Because you used to watch battle rap.
All of them syllables.
You watch battle rap.
Yeah, I know, but that's the shit.
Yo, you know who you could tell been watching battle raps? Drake. This nigga Drake. You get when he does the fucking
the
AB I got your CD. You get an E for effort. Like, you are thirsty, Drake.
What do you think is gonna be like? What's gonna happen next if rap stops being trendy? Then what happens? Like, what becomes trendy instead? And then what happens to rap when people stop paying attention and like striving for it all?
I have no fucking idea. Niggas are doing very wild shit though. Niggas are doing crazy.
Like, what do you mean?
Shit is just so fucked up. Shit, like, it's like everything is in this big fucked up melting pot right now where everything is like, there are certain lines, like, and I'm all for combining shit that's not like expected, but there's some shit that is not being done correctly. Like, there's a way, I've heard people combine like electronic shit with rap shit in a way that's like, even though I may not fuck with it because I'm not an EDM type of nigga, like you could hear that it's like creative. Like Azalea be doing that shit, and like I always listen to Azalea's new shit when it come out once. I'm not about to be the nigga that's driving around listening to that shit. Mm-hmm. But like, I listen to that shit and she go in, like, damn, she went in. Like, even Nicki has some shit where it's like over some crazy EDM shit, but it's like, damn, she did her thing. Anyways, but then there's shit that's just this fucked up, like, you can hear when niggas have these awful attempts at like being the one that, like,
is it a bad idea or is it bad execution?
Bad execution, because you are not the one.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of niggas that's not the one.
And they have money behind them, you think, or it doesn't matter?
Absolutely.
You're not going to name names in this regard?
I can't even think of names. It's just shit that I hear, like...
That Big Sean video in the forest is tight as fuck.
I haven't seen it.
I just had to say that.
I haven't seen it either.
It's tight as fuck. He in the forest with a megaphone.
Whoa, that's tight.
It's tight.
Are you going to shoot videos for Doris?
Yeah, we're about to do some tight shit. I'm not going to divulge any secrets, but we're about to do... Hopefully it turns out tight.
Videos matter more and more.
Absolutely. Videos matter more and more, Vince Staples.
Don't look at me.
You seen a Vince Staples video?
Neither have I.
I don't need them yet.
Yes, you do, nigga. You are not exempt.
I didn't need them yet. It ain't hurt me.
It's how people pass things around, though. It's like,
yeah,
a quick hit.
Yeah, that's their problem.
What are you talking about? I mean, you're drunk.
I can rap. What I need to do a video every other song for.
You don't need to do a video every other song. You need a video. You need one. Nigga, it's not every other song. It'd be different if you...
We gonna put one out. We ain't need one yet. I do got a video out. It's on MTV.
What? Oh, fuck you.
Thank you.
Why do you want to make a good video? Like, why do you care about your videos?
Because that shit is tight. Like, a good video... Good videos have always been, like... Makes you want to listen to the song more. Then you, like, think of the video when you listen to the song and shit. That's sometimes videos video. Fuck songs up, though.
Exactly.
Sometimes videos really fuck a song up. Sometimes videos make a bad song very tight.
I had thought about asking you guys about, you know, your relationship to music journalism and, like, doing interviews and stuff. And I don't know, like, I mean, is it something that you
like
think
shit.
About?
Yeah. I don't like shit in the same sense that I don't like shit with rap music. I don't like shit in rap journalism. I don't know, man. This shit is just so corny. Like
it's just the people. It's the writers.
It's the niggas doing it. It's not a lot of writers that have a good foundation of knowledge of what the fuck they're talking about, and you can see it just like how you can tell when a nigga is not about his shit. when he doing music, you could tell when a nigga is not about his shit and writing. I don't read shit Nas's, no bro. More.
It's only Andrew Nas. Nas,
and there's like, he's GOAT. He's the best. And then there's fucking Will. I don't know if you know him. Yeah. Will's tight.
Will's tight as fuck.
Will's very tight.
I don't know his last name.
Stolly, I think.
Oh, you did that Times Magazine thing with you.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't even realize who he was when he was interviewing me. Like, because really? I read his shit and, like, came in. I just done so much shit that day that it was, like, I was expecting that to be butt. And then, like, it was the best one of the day.
Yeah, I really liked that, the product that he put. Yeah.
Radio is better than writing because they can't lie. Because sometimes writers be straight lying, bro. Yeah. And these headlines be making me mad. What did he put for your headline the other day?
Earl Sweatshirt finds his happy place.
Headlines are tough because, like, it's not even the writer that has control over them most of the time. It sucks. It sucks for everybody.
Niggas ask you the same questions. Niggas don't know what's going on.
What would make it better?
And it's just hard to write out a conversation without it being too
A nigga that's... you need people that's, like... The best interviews I've done is where I felt that the person knows more than me. Mm-hmm. Like, are you talking to a nigga that clearly
Googled
you're just, yeah, you're like, you answering questions like, yeah, that did happen. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, that was absolutely wild. It's so wild.
What do you get as a musician out of good music journalism?
It's good writing. It's not like
so you just get
whether it's music journaling or not, it's like it's good writing, and that happens maybe once every like 4 months that you read something that's genuinely like, I'm so glad I read that.
So it's about like your enjoyment as a person who reads music writing. Is it about your career at all, or like helping you understand what you're doing, or helping you know, people helping explain what you're doing to other people?
I don't know. It's just a good way to gauge someone. Because especially in a world where, like, everyone's so accessible now, to say something new in, like, an article that you can't find out about a nigga through his Twitter or, like, Googling him or some shit is, like, is rare. Just like how a good song is rare or, like, some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it just, like, makes the world bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But shit is just getting more and more fucking desolate. Like, everything's getting narrowed down to, like, a few good things. I don't know what's going to happen. I think this is the trajectory of, like, death, though.
Yeah, somebody going to die.
Well, like, physically and, like, just... Overall, this shit is just gonna just become like such a mockery of itself. Like everything about
it already is, bro.
Yeah, it's.
Well, then you get layoffs, right? You get layoffs at labels and publications,
right?
But then you get kids that will write for free.
Then you get shit that comes from the rubble,
right? So, and then I'm just trying to figure out what's gonna happen after that.
It's fresh start, fresh slate
over.
Yeah,
it's like 2003 all over again.
Yeah.
That would be good.
It'd be great. Should niggas stop trying to hold on to these fucking archaic ideas of like what's supposed to be going on.
It's not even that. It's like what you really gotta understand, bro, is as far as the system, is nothing wrong with the system because it's the same shit over and over. Like it needs to be new people to make the system work. You feel what I'm saying? Like. The same system is the one that had Wu-Tang, the one that had Method Man, the one that had Kanye and 50, but who name some rappers you knew before that was new before Kanye and 50 when we was little kids. You can't think of one nigga, bro.
Chingy.
Probably. You feel me, though? Name a new nigga before Drake that was like, oh, this generation.
What do you mean?
You're talking about the
who was hot before Drake was hot? Who was the rapper that was hot before him?
Juelz Santana.
No.
Yes.
That was a gap. Because it was like, remember it was Charles Hamilton, Mickey Fax, all of them niggas. But who was like, you can't even think of the hottest out of them.
Who had some consistency to it.
It was never, it's always got to be that one. It's Kanye, 50, when Jay started popping, when Ja Rule was hot, it's always got to be, the people got to be implemented to make the shit work.
And yeah, but even that shit is getting old.
Yeah, but it's not getting old because it's happened since the shit started. You just don't ever realize it when it start over. But it's always...
Yeah, I feel you. It's I feel you 100%.
But since there's so many motherfuckers rapping...
It's hard to see.
Hard to find
the
motherfucker that's supposed to make this shit start over. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they want it so bad that they just naming any nigga who hot or got the song.
Right. That's why people are so quick to be overwhelmed by, like, best rapper.
Exactly.
Like, niggas love finding the best rapper.
So what if that was part of the design to keep it, to bring it to its ultimate death?
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying from the perspective of continue to just make it so that there'll never be a regeneration of that one person to reset it.
I mean, I don't think that's possible.
You don't think that's
I think that's fully possible.
How is it going to be possible, though?
When the shit dies and everyone's just like...
But I'm saying, remember when...
Fuck.
I'm saying, remember when, like, pop was real hot and then, like, real songwriting and shit was dead for, like, probably, like, 10 motherfucking years? And then Adele came out and niggas was cracking off the Adele, even though that shit was dead. It's gone. It's always gonna be gone. You feel me? But niggas can't just stop making music. Niggas ain't gonna. They remaking every movie that you've ever seen right now because niggas have no good ideas. Movies. But that don't mean they gonna start shutting down movie theaters, my nigga. You feel me? That shit's always gonna need to be there, be made. It's not gonna be as hot as it once was at one point in time.
I don't know. That's why I feel like you need a few people flinging shit at the wall.
Yeah, I think somebody just found his purpose.
Yeah, fling
the
shit.
Hey, yo. What do you do, Vince? I figured out what I do.
I don't know. He told me what I was supposed to do last time we met, so.
Complain.
Low key.
I complain, too.
Everybody complain. If you're not complaining, the fuck you doing?
That makes sense to me.
I think I'm trying to put out the best rap album next time.
You want to enter into this debate, then? The melee?
No, not like that. I just mean, like, I was, like, skeptical or, like, tentative about a lot of shit just because of the situation I was in. Mm-hmm. But, like, no one is that good. Like, all this shit that niggas are naming is the best is not that good. Like, I swear to God. Niggas... are Make so it. Quick to get excited about shit that is maybe a 6 or a 7.
But who really slanging 10s like that everybody paying attention to?
Right, and I've, like, yeah, maybe that's my purpose. I don't know. That's why I fuck with Vince Staples, though.
So next album, you're just going to go for it?
Yeah. I think I have to, or else I'm going to fall off.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you that all the time.
Yeah.
On that note... Thank you. Thank you for coming by.
Hey, word.
Spending good talk. Time with us.